When the rising sun appeared in the east, the jewel of the twice born, Lord Goldsundar, awakened. And taking his devotees with him, he went all over the countryside, towns and villages, and played the mridanga, and the cymbals chimed in time. Lord Gauranga's shimmering golden features danced, and his foot bells jingled. All the devotees chanted the names Mukunda, Madhava, Yadava, and Hari, their mouths being filled with vibrations. They would announce to the still sleeping people, they're going around doing kirtan, or maybe some were doing kirtan and others were just talking to the public, like we have kirtan party and a book distribution team also. Or maybe whole kirtan stops and then somebody's talking. And that time, that talker, they would announce, "You spend your nights uselessly sleeping and your days decorating your bodies." This is the preaching line. "You have achieved such a rare human body, but you do not care for this gift. You remain not serving the darling of Yashoda and slowly fall through your last movements to death. With every rising and setting of the sun, a day passes and is lost. Then why do you remain not serving the darling of Yashoda and slowly fall through your last moments to death?" Okay, we did that. Where are we? "Then why do you remain idle and not serve the Lord of the heart? This temporary life is full of various miseries." "Take shelter of the holy name as your only business. To penetrate the darkness of ignorance and bless everyone's heart, the holy name has risen like the shining sun. Drink the pure nectar of the holy name. There is nothing but the name to be had in the 14 worlds. It has filled the soul of Sri Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Ki Jai." We'll try to put Gauranga in the context of this dham. Oh, here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did this, and here he did that. As soon as you hear that, then that place, that island, that this river, you took a dip in this river, Lord swam, did sports. Immediately that land, that river becomes meaningful. Otherwise we just take you to a yoga pit. We show you the building, show you that little hut, show you that tree, neem tree. We don't tell you anything. What you would understand? Not much. But as soon as we get you to sit down and say, this is that tree, same tree, underneath this tree, Lord appeared. He took his birth immediately. That neem tree is no more ordinary tree. You begin to love that tree. You like that tree. So many other trees in the world. Billions of trees, no big deal. But But that tree, oh, under this tree Lord appeared. Immediately. Right here he appeared. This is the place. Like showing you somebody's, I mean, or you, someone you like very much. You show his property and courtyard and you just show, but don't. But as soon as you begin, say, "This is where he was born. This is the bed, you know. I used to sit under this tree in the chair, rocking chair." When you talk like that, then because you love that person, you're some very dear to you, then his description and that place becomes meaningful, and your affection for that place is same as affection for the person, your beloved. So, the place is here. Navadvip is here. Well, is Gauranga here?
Yes.
He's also here. So, we have come here to find him out. We were told, right? He was here, he is here, he will be here. This is his place. This is his home. This is his hometown. This is where he was born. We heard that yesterday, right? He was born here. And the demigods had come to see him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so beautiful. And the demigods are also beautiful. See, one beautiful person goes to see another beautiful person. What does that mean? That person must be more beautiful that he has gone to see someone. The demigods and goddesses are already beautiful. Most beautiful people in this universe are demigods. And they want to see someone else. And that someone else must be more beautiful than those demigods. And that is what Krishna talks in Bhagavad Gita about. Devaha piyasya darshana kankshina, nityam darshana kankshina, sudur darsham idam rupam. In 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, Arjuna, Arjuna, the form that you are now seeing right before your eyes, you know, this form is so beautiful. And darshan of this form is a rare thing. Sudur darsham idam rupam. Drastavanasiyan mama. Devaha api asya rupasya nityam darshana kankshina. Even the demigods are very, very curious, very, very anxious to see this form of mine. So that form appeared in Navadvip, to be more precise, appeared in where? Mayapur. Where is Mayapur? In which dweep is it? Not Navadvip. Antardvip. The world of the lotus. You have a flower here? There are many flowers there. the whorl of a flower or a lotus, the middle, center, and then there are petals all around. You know how flowers are. So, in that kind. So there are eight petals. Eight islands are like those petals, in eight directions. And in the middle is Antardvip, the world of the lotus. That is where this Mayapur, village Mayapur, and that Lord appeared. Is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu less beautiful, more beautiful, same amount of beauty in personality of Gauranga? At least same, if not more. Because he is Krishna, but he is also Radha. It's a combination of two beauties, two divinities and beauties combined. And his golden complexion, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And why is that? Why is he golden? Where does that gold come from? Radharani. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. The two things from Radharani he has accepted. One is the complexion of Radharani, other one is the mood of Radharani. Two things of Radharani are in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, no one is as beautiful as Krishna, even Ram or Narayan or Narasimha. There are four additional features found only in Krishna. Or four qualities. One of them is this Rupa Madhurya. So far the beauty of Krishna goes, is specially known for his beauty. Rupa Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, Venu Madhurya, and Leela Madhurya. Very good. These are the four additional qualities according to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu are only found in Krishna, not in no other incarnation, no other form. A demigod, of course not, and no, not even other incarnations. So one of those four special qualities is a form, the beauty. And so that beautiful Krishna appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he is not only Krishna, he is also Radharani. And Krishna is attracted by her beauty. If Krishna is called Madan Mohan, what is Mohan? Madan, Madan means Cupid. The Cupid is very attractive. But Krishna attracts Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shoham. Kandarp and Kamdev, Madan, these are the same, just different names, same persons. At least three names, maybe there are more names. Kamdev, sometimes they call Kamdev. Kamdev. Devata, who is in charge of lust. Demigod in charge of lust. That is his department. He's also called Kandarp, or he's called Madan. So Krishna is called Madan Mohan, because he attracts the Cupids, so many Cupids. But then Krishna is known as, no, Radharani is known as Madan Mohan, Mohini. She attracts even the attractor. She attracts the attractor of the Cupids. So that attraction, additional attraction that is in Radharani also is due to her beauty. So that beauty also is there in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because it's combined form. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahi Anya. So our Gauranga, Gauranga, who appeared here in Mayapur, is as beautiful, if not more beautiful, than Krishna. So to see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, demigods had come 500 years ago, and we have now come. We have come only 500 years later. Is it too late? It's not too late. Has his beauty diminished? In 500 years. Is ever fresh and ever beautiful. Isn't that amazing? We don't have such experience. Right? Older the person is, uglier he becomes. I don't mean... I'm also old, so... I feel better, some of you feel better. When I admit it, I am... So. But Krishna, adhyam purana purusham navayavvanam cha. He's Adi Purush, he's the first and the oldest person. At the same time, he's the youngest and the most beautiful. So, to see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya, he was not known as Chaitanya at that time. That name came later on, when he was 24 years, he became known as Chaitanya. He was named by Kesha Bharati as Chaitanya. But now this newly born baby, let's first deal with his beauty, then we'll go to his name. He's beautiful. What is beautiful in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? His limbs are long. Kala janu lambita bhujo. Somebody is showing the eyes. His eyes, what about his eyes? Huh? Like a blooming lotus. Blooming. And they're wide open. Blooming means, no? Wide open. Like Jagannath's eyes. Like a blooming lotus. And they reach his ears. And when our eyes do not reach the ears, what do we do? Do a little painting. Huh? So they try to stretch it so that almost, you know, we're there. Especially ladies make such attempts. I mean, although... Just see the connection. Just see the perverted reflection. Those who make attempt to bring their eyes all the way reaching their ears, they have no clue that God has such eyes. But unknowingly, or the imitation and the competition also. We see, we are envious of God. Unknowingly, the envy goes on. all the dictations are from within and the competition is going on. Those who don't know the eyes of God, they're also trying to paint their eyes. Lord's nails, they are reddish, and then some people try to paint their nails. They don't know God has such nails, so they paint their nails. Other features, his forehead is broad, very broad. That's there are 32 different features listed by Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion, signifying the beauty. Beauty means these 32 features have to be there. So long arms is part of that. Broad forehead is part of that. Raised nose. Nose how? Raised. Not like this. Doesn't look like good, huh? At least in India, when they go to find a bride or bridegroom, which one? Male is bride. Man is groom. Okay, bride. They see the nose first to decide whether it's the right match. What they look at is the nose. How is the nose? So if it is raised, then okay. If it is not raised, then there's a more dowry, they have to pay more money. Nose is raised and free. So because Krishna's nose is raised. See, our liking, because we like Krishna. Originally, our liking is for Krishna. So when we also look that kind of beauty in others. So if it is rose nose, then I. But then trouble is, then we end up liking that person. And in the process, we forget Krishna altogether. His throat is neck is short. Krishna's neck is short. Same thing applies to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His neck is short. Arms are long, we said. His chest is broad. Chest is broad. And his waist is thin. His hips are large. His thigh, right? Also short. So some things are short, some things are long. There are some things that are deep in Krishna. His voice is deep. His voice is very deep. His intelligence is deep. Same thing with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Deep intelligence, deep voice. And seven parts, we mentioned about some reddish parts, nails. Seven parts of his body are reddish in complexion. Feet, soles, lips, eyes. What else? Palate. So 7 parts. The souls described in bhakti, our topic is Chaitanya Bhagavat. That one time Sachimata was looking at the soles, the feet of her child, and she thought that the is bleeding. She's bleeding, bleeding. She was crying, "Hey, bring some bandage or something. Look, look." Actually, there was no bleeding. The soles of Lord's feet are so brilliant and effulgent and shining and very fine that it looked like a blood is oozing out, as if blood is oozing out. Lotus feet, we call Lord's feet are like a lotus feet. Why lotus feet? First of all, lotus is something considered very beautiful in this creation. In one sense, it is insult to compare the feet of the Lord with beauty of the lotus. This is insult. What? How could you say, his feet are like a beautiful, like a lotus? It's insult. But we have to, within our comprehension now, within our experience, from talking from our experience, human experience, lotus is considered something very, very most beautiful. So, while describing the lotus feet of the Lord, or feet of the Lord, the beauty of the feet of the Lord, then we say, oh, it is, it's like a lotus, so beautiful, like a lotus. So because of its beauty, it is compared to the lotus. In the lotus, what else is there? Delicate. Delicate. Lotus is a delicate thing. If you don't handle properly, then you will lose the petals, break the petals. Delicate. What else is there? The complexion, of course, the color. Color combinations. Because there are different colored lotuses are there, bluish lotus also. But here we are talking of a lotus of a reddish, pinkish color. What else is found in a lotus? Or a flower? Or a lotus flower? Smell. Fragrance. Will you find that also in the feet of the Lord? Yes? Yes. Lord's feet are very, very fragrant. Naturally fragrant. Does anyone put fragrance on the flower and then you smell it? No. It is naturally the flower is fragrant. Likewise, the Lord's lotus feet, not only feet, the whole body is a fragrant body. If you want to know whether the Lord was here some time ago, how would you know? You smell. If you smell nice fragrance, then you conclude what? Krishna was right here. So, So different parts of his body are lotus-like. Sometimes there's a description that the Lord's hands are compared to the lotuses. Lotus. So it is like a, this is like a flower hanging from there. As if he's holding two flowers. And again, because this part is reddish, fragrant, beautiful to look at. So when he's walking, he is like carrying two flowers in his hands, lotus hands, lotus hands. And then that lotus hand, sometimes he holds a flower and he does the twirling. Twirling? He does that twirling. What about his hair? Oh, his navel is also deep. The three parts are deep. The voice, his intelligence, and navel is very deep. They describe this, they're deep like a lake, deep lake. And that is why, from that lake, the lotus flower sprouted. From Lord's navel, there was a lotus. Stem, and then lotus, and Brahma born. So where this lotus has grown in the lake-like navel, deep lake-like navel, which also looks like a lotus navel. And his hair, curly hair, sometimes they are on his face in the front, cover his face. So, like that. Then he has his clothes, ornaments, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Also, as his clothes are as Pitambar, same as Krishna's. Pitambar. Yellow garments. And his teeth are also. Sachi Mata would give the baby on the lap and sometimes and check out his teeth or count how many teeth he has by now. And after a few weeks, again count how many teeth he has now. So you open his and count. Like a little pomegranate seeds. So pomegranate seeds are, they're like a reddish. Then something white also, sometimes a little, not just whole thing reddish, but some whitish, which are sprouting teeth. Red are like gums, and the teeth are sticking out, put next to each other, and they're very, very like pearls sometimes. So this was a property, this kind of beautiful child of Sachi Mata was her own property. She was called, this is my child, my son. When every mother loves her child, beautiful or not beautiful, they love the child. But if it is beautiful, and if it is beautiful like Chaitanya, then how much love and affection. So when this child was born, the calculations of the Lord's horoscope were done by Nilambar Chakravarti. And when he was referring to the Shastras, was looking at the different symptoms and the time of the birth, and he was simply amazed.
Oh, hey!
He had done, doing horoscope was his daily affair. Children were taking birth left and right in the town, in the villages. So, but the symptoms that he found in this child, and he was trying to understand, say something about his future or his past or what, you know, what he was just overwhelmed. So he was making this child is the embodiment of the Bhagavad Dharma, and when Brahmin sitting there, after he heard Nilambar Chakravarti, he said, oh, that means he is Narayan himself. Talks like that, and everyone was hearing with great attention, you know. The horoscope of a child is a big thing. Family gathers and they want to hear about the child. And the name is being suggested also as Vishvambhar. His name would be Vishvambhar. Again, there's a name-giving ceremony also comes up. But Vrindavan Das Thakur mentions that purposely, although it was obvious in the calculation that he would take sannyas, Vrindavan Das Thakur kept quiet. He didn't want to disturb. He had just now taken birth, and they talk of him taking sannyas. He didn't say a word about it. The part of horoscope also was that he would be attracting the minds of atheistic yavanas, which he did. Lots of people were atheistic. And that's the reason, in fact, that in Shantipur, where devotees have assembled today, Advaita Acharya was worshipping. We read about that yesterday. He was worshipping the Lord. So the Lord would personally come and help out these atheistic people, godless civilization, yavanas or whatever kind of atheism. So Lord appeared, and even before he appeared, people started running to Navadvip. And while running, they were chanting, Arivo, Arivo, Ari, 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 Ari. Hey, come on. What are you chanting? Because some people, they have never chanted in their whole life. But now they're chanting and running to Navadvip. And like a whole festivity. Unknowingly, they are celebrating the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he started attracting the minds of atheists. The horoscope said that he would attract their minds and he would become their worshipable Lord. So that is what he did even prior to the appearance. And wherever he went, the Buddhist monk was there. You remember that plate? Bird took the plate and then threw it. He fell unconscious. And he had come with his followers. This is Madhyalila pastime. It's not a childhood. Then it was recommended, you know, only way you could revive your master is by chanting the names of Krishna right in his ears. You have a choice. If you don't want to do, you lose your master. You want to have him back, revive him, only way to chant. And they chanted. They come to make a fun of Mahaprabhu or, you know, joke and all that. But they ended up chanting the names and their master woke up. He was on the verge of death. And like that, so many things. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, he was such a logician, tarka, shastragya. Because as soon as when Mahaprabhu appeared, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya left for Jagannath Puri. He didn't want to disturb Mahaprabhu's childhood pastimes. He went to Jagannath Puri. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu followed him. And he had a big following, this Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. And he ended up becoming, he was a big impersonalist. Logician, impersonalist. He became a staunch follower of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then he came across word Muktipade in Bhagavatam, Muktipade. And then he was reciting that verse, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. He recited that as Bhaktipade. He was so much converted that he said, no, why? Mukti, bhakti, bhakti. He became such a... Then Banaras, who was it? Saraswati? Prakashanand Saraswati. He had 60,000 followers. Mahaprabhu, just by his humility, started with the humility, again, entering like a needle, came out like a plow. There was a dialogue, debate, and everyone silenced, kept them quiet. In one stroke, 60,000 followers, the leader and the follower, they became followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there are many others. So these are some of the examples of how what was foretold, what was mentioned during the calculation of the horoscope, this all came true in regards to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was a name-giving ceremony and then again this name was suggested. He was officially named as, the priest said, yes, possible names could be this. They usually give the indication. Or name should start with this syllable, should start with N, start with K, like that. They give some. And then official name-giving ceremony comes up. So when that was happening, family was there. Little Nimai was in the lap of Sachi Mata, and so many ladies and other Brahmins and priests had assembled. and he was officially named as Vishwambhar. The reason they did it, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, is from the time of his, since the time he appeared, there was a prosperity everywhere. Lots of rains and lots of grains as a result. There's plenty of everything for everybody. And not only materially, but there were showers of devotion, the rains of devotion, and these devotional rains were falling on the fertile souls, and they were getting nourished. The description is there. So this is the bharan, this is the maintenance. The material needs were taken care of, the spiritual needs were taken care of, and they all considered this is all due to this child. Hence the name Vishwambhar. Vishwam means whole planet. He is a maintainer of everybody. That's the meaning of Vishwambhara. Vishwambhara. Bhar means feed or maintain, nourish. He is a nourisher of the whole planet or universe. Hence, one name was, what was first name? Vishwambhara. This came more from the wise men in the assembly or the Brahmins, the priests. But the ladies had different idea. Ladies had different idea. So different ideas were suggested, and they concluded, yes, he should be named as Nimai. He should be named as Nimai. And their reasoning was that Nimai, you don't like the name? You approve of this or? But you are not saying, Nimai. Yeah, so, Nimai meaning that the death is afraid of approaching. Death doesn't approach somebody. Or death stays at distance from somebody. So Nimai, this is the deeper meaning of Nimai. Besides this obvious, simpler meaning is Nimai means neem. Neem is neem tree. Neem tree. Neem is name of the tree. Like a bakul or this or that, Ashok or neem tree. So Nimai is one who was born under the neem tree is Nimai. But this neem, of course, neem also has a different properties, and the ghosts and these kind of creatures stay away from neem. So in that sense also, that Nimai, neem, that name is appropriate. There were difficulties. You know, Sachi Mata, she had lost 1, 2, 3, 4, kind of lost count. 8 daughters took birth and died. As in case of Devaki, how many sons? She lost her 6 sons. And Devaki, Sachi Mata had lost 8 daughters. And then ninth child was Vishwaroop, and he was only very young. Young children means unpredictable, right? You don't know whether they will live or die, or, you know, for several days, several months, you never know what would go wrong. Huh? So, the Vishwaroop survived, and of course they didn't want to lose this son, Nimai. So they wanted that he is named Nimai, so that death stays away from him, so that he lives long life. So taking the history into consideration, past into consideration, what happened to other children of Sachi Mata, they decided to name him Nimai. So Chaitanya Bhagavat says that his Vishwambar name was considered principal name, and his name Nimai was considered secondary name. So Sachi Mata normally would call him, she hardly called him Vishwambar, ever. She would call him what? Say it. Say it with some affection so that he would come. Would he come? Like, no. So you had to make a little more. One more. Give a try. He would consider. He had a call from, not from here. Call from? Our voice has origin in a lot of times from throat. That's not where the soul is. Soul's seat is in the heart. So the call is from within the heart, deep core of the heart. Voice coming from there. The soul speaking. Soul is calling. Throat means body. Body is calling. Machine is calling. You push the button and machine speaks. Soul is not involved. So if it is from the soul, then Lord will respond with some emotion, some feeling in it. Machine doesn't have a feeling. So throat doesn't have a feeling. Throat is a machine, like a speaker. Like a... Who is the speaker? Where is the speaker? You would say. Then I will go. You could, that speaker could continue. So likewise, throat, the mouth, this is just a machine, a speaker, external speaker. Unless I speak, that speaker doesn't speak. Similarly, talk, if it is coming from the heart. Anyway, there are two talks, two kinds of voices. The Lord recognizes what is the origin of this voice. Where is it? Is it from the heart? And we cannot fool the Lord. Don't fool me. Even ordinary human beings, don't fool me. Who do you think I am or you are? Don't fool me. What do they say? Something like that they say. So we can't fool. We cannot fool foolish people. How could we fool the Supreme Lord? So if our voice is coming from the soul, then that will reach the super soul, supreme soul. There will be some response from him. So this is about Lord's appearance and then demigods appearing and participating in greeting, and they were also busy, of course, Chamara, and they were chanting prayers and drinking the beauty of the Lord. And then gradually followed by horoscope and the name-giving ceremony. Then there's a description that the Lord was some 4 months old. 4 months is not a, just 4 months. So at some point, one time, there was no one at home, just the child. All the members of the family were out. And then they returned, and they found that there's a whole mess all over the house. Items, all the items were scattered, thrown here, there. And the milk on the floor, ghee everywhere, and the grains are out of the bags. And but as someone was now entering that house, Satyamata's house, of course when they came back, I don't know what to say, they found that there's no one else at home. Only person at home was Nimai, 4 months old. And when they came, he was just lying there, moving his head. He started crying also. So when they saw all this, then the more members came, you know, hey, come see what has happened. Look, what's the mess here? So they concluded this must be some demon's job. Some demon must have entered our house and done all this. And they thought, because we were chanting the mantras in for the protection of our child, that demon did not reach the child. Our child has been protected. They're thanking God that demon saved the child, didn't reach the child. So was that a demon? It wasn't a demon. It was a Nimai who used to do these naughty things, you know, when he was in Gokul, little boy. So one time, only 4 months old, but he thought of doing something. So while everyone was out, he got up and he did all this mess. Isn't that nice? Mess is nice. So he was doing these things. Then he was learning to crawl and and every little activity, every little new move that Nimai would make was such a like a festivity. And as a baby is lying down on the back, but then time came, he was able to turn over. Now he was on his belly. There's a big thing. Everyone was, hey, Sachi Mata called everyone. And then she would put him on the back and Nimai would turn around and on his belly and look. They would all sit there and wait for her. And when they were real anxious to see, then he would take few extra minutes for a few more ladies to come. Then he would turn around, turn over on his belly, and then everyone would be, this is not a big thing. This happens every day. Millions of children do this. But when Lord does this, when same thing is done by Lord who is the creator of this whole universe and proprietor, the lawmaker and all that, when he becomes real tiny, little helpless baby, and goes through what all children go through. So those activities, they become very, very pleasing. So the childhood pastimes are considered, besides, of course, Krishna's rasa dance pastime. These are considered very, very pleasing to the heart, childhood pastimes. Because he is great, God is great. So when that great God does just tiny little ordinary kind of things, human-like things, then it becomes extraordinary, out of ordinary. Nothing like it. So then he was growing, and Jagannath Mishra, he arranged this ceremony to know the future of the child, what kind of inclination he has. Is he brahminically inclined, or is he going to be a businessman? Is he going to be into money making or mantra chanting? Or so the baby was, as we do in ISKCON also, what devotees are doing for their children. In front of the baby, different articles are placed. The rice, different things, silver, gold, toys, then some shastras, including Bhagavatam, and a large group of family members were assembled to see, witness, to know more about this child. What is he going to be like in future? So when child was, Nimai was motioned, okay, go. Grab, take something. When he was signaled, he, those heaps of this rice, gold items or toys and different things and other scriptures and then Bhagavatam. Nimai grabbed Bhagavatam. Not even other Puranas. Which he later on called that as Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. Srimad Bhagavatam Praman is authority. Why? Because it is Amal, spotless. It's a spotless Puran, Srimad Bhagavatam. So it was already predicted, the horoscope said that he would be, is a personification of Bhagavad Dharma. And then when they were trying, testing him, he went for Bhagavad Dharma. And he would, was such a great lover of Bhagavad Dham, Radha Krishna pastimes included, that he would relish Swarup Damodar Goswami. And others would read to him, or they would recite Bhagavad Dham. Was Raghunath Bhatta. Raghunath Bhatta, right? He was a special lover of Bhagavatam. He would recite Bhagavatam in four different tunes or ragas or then he was growing and growing. So one day, another amazing scene, frightening. That Sachi Mata saw that Nimai was lying on the bed of a snake. Can you imagine child and he's enjoying his lying on the snake has made a big coil, and bed is not, he's a baby, he's not a big, and he's just enjoying. It's not a water bed or other kind of, so many kinds of beds, but the bed made up of snake, this is, no one had experience, but Nimai was just having fun lying, and the snake is also providing some shade. So they didn't know what was going on, but they just saw snake and the baby bus. They did not know what kind of dealings, what was going on there. So when Sachi Mata and then others also saw that the child was right there next to the snake, they were scared. Hey, Nimai! Come on, get out of here. And then they also started, Chaitanya Bhagavat says, they started calling, Garud! Why Garud? Snake is scared of Garud. So they're trying to scare away the snake. Tell snake, hey, Garud is coming, please hurry up, go away, otherwise Garud is here, or we'll call Garud. We'll just telephone him if you don't go. So, the snakes, they don't like people. Sometimes they like to bite them, but they stay away from the crowds. They find only one person and bite him, finish. So when snake noticed there are so many people are all around, snake quietly went away. No one realized what was going on there. This was not an ordinary snake, one of the reptiles. So many reptile bodies. So he was not from amongst those species of reptiles. This snake was Anantashesh. Anantashesh had come. He was feeling separation. And Anantashesh provides bed for the Lord. When there was a rain in the Vrindavan, Krishna just born in prison house of Kamsa. When Vasudeva came out with the baby, there was one snake was waiting for her. And Vasudeva walked, and the snake was walking right behind, serving like umbrella. So that snake was not some snake from the rainy season, has a lot of snakes. In rainy season, the holes where snakes reside, they are filled with the water. Then the snakes are homeless. And snakes lose their homes. At that time, the snakes, they are all over. Many snakes go around. So this snake, right behind Vasudeva, was not one of those snakes. This was Anansesh, Balaram, serving the Lord. That is, we were reading that yesterday. Nityanand is Seva Vigraha. He is Seva Vigraha. And Krishna is, Gauranga Mahaprabhu is Vishaya Vigraha. He accepts the service. So this Anansesh, Shantakaram Bhujaga Shayanam Padmanabham Suresham. We hear this prayer. Shantakaram, Lord is a form of peace, peace personified. Shantakaram Bhujaga Shayanam. He lies down on the bed of this Anantashesh. So that was that Anantashesh. So two of them were having good time, Anantashesh, snake, and Gauranga. But others thought, hey, it's an ordinary snake, it's going to bite our child. And the pastimes of the Lord are unlimited. We're just picking up few grains, few particles from that ocean, vast ocean of storehouse of pastimes. Just sprinkling in your direction. But because we are tiny, those drops are like ocean for us. Like if you drop an ant in a little cup full of water, why one cup? Just few drops somewhere, and then you drop an ant in it. What does ant think? It's like an ocean. Even ant cannot get out of that few drops of water there. It's like a big ocean. So for us, the tiny jivas, living entities, we just get few drops. We get drowned in those few drops of merciful, Leelas, pastimes of the Lord. Our requirement is not big, that big. Although we do call the unlimited pastimes they are there, but then they are not available to us. Chaitanya Bhagavat, there are so many pastimes. Or Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mangal, Chaitanya Charit. You put all together, it's not. Doesn't sound like unlimited. But that is not everything also. Sometimes it's frustrating experience. They wrote a lot, Chaitanya Bhagavat, compiler, Vrindavan Das, and they have written a lot, but it's not that much. But again, there is no mundane way of calculating or measuring how much they have written and what is the length and breadth of this, how many kilos of writing they have done, what is the length. It's unlimited. Again, it's unlimited. As soon as they begin talking about the Lord, it's unlimited. Each one, each pastime is unlimited. This is considered offense to measure dham. The dham is that long, that in so many kilometers, so many miles, to measure that way is offense, because it cannot be measured by your stick yard, whatever. So it doesn't seem so much in volume, in one sense, but it is at the same time very vast, deep subject matter, and that is so much volume. Because each leela is like a ocean in itself. It could go round and round and round and relish. So what we are reciting here, some of these things you have heard before. But you like to hear it again. And this is not the last time you would be hearing. Next 20, 30, 40, 50 years, you may live long life. You would be hearing the same pastimes. Devotees never say, and I have heard that before. I heard it so many times. That's not proper attitude. Love to hear again. And each time you hear, it is more relishable. Lord reveals unto you as you hear the pastime. You enter that pastime. As you hear that pastime with attention, faith, you are kind of entering that pastime. That pastime becomes bit. Yesterday we were reading how pastimes of the Lord are achintya and agamya. Achintya means inconceivable, agamya means inaccessible. Although it is inaccessible, it is inaccessible for atheists, faithless. But as soon as there is some faith, attention, feeling, then you kind of getting in there, getting in middle. So our goal is, not just to witness the pastimes, but to join, participate in those pastimes. Of course, we begin with hearing, witnessing, we might call. We become trained that way. Become purified. As we hear these pastimes are non-different from the Lord. these pastimes are the Lord. This is one entrance, one way to reach the Lord. The different gates, you are welcomed through different gates. So this Leela, pastimes, is one big welcome gate. Of course, the wide open gate in this age of Kali is the holy name, the Naam, Naam Dwar, gate. So Naam is there, Leela is there, form. The Lords are standing there. Panchatattva has just appeared and Radha Madhav. So that's a gate, the form of the Lord. You stand before those forms and you are entering the Lord, or you are entering, or getting closer to the Lord. And then the qualities of the Lord that we're talking about, the beauty, the quality, guna. So to know the Lord means to know the Naam, Roop, Gun, Leela, and Dham. To know Lord means to know these things. And by knowing Naam, of course, the Lord becomes accessible. Then you get to know other things also. So this is when the Leela Smaran, remembering the pastimes of the Lord. And then Smaran, as I say, this we hear, but that's where it doesn't end there. 1:15, we are finished with the Leela. It just starts there. The hearing is the beginning of the process. Then there's whole contemplation, going back to that Leela, bringing it back to mind, and then churning, chewing, and assimilation. Manan. This is the important part. This topic has come up, I guess, that the Bhagavat Mahatmya, the greatness of Bhagavatam, in Padma Puran it is described that there are two brothers, the famous two brothers, Dhundakari and Gokarna. One brother, he recited Bhagavatam for the benefit of the other brother, and of course so many others, thousands of others were also sat there and listened. So then 7 days recitation of Bhagavatam took place, and then one aircraft from Vaikunth landed there. And the air host from that airplane, he signaled Dhundakari, one person, to board the plane. And the engines were starting. And the speaker of the Bhagavatam said, "Hey! Hold on!" He had a question. He was about to take off, leave for Vaikunth. He said, "How come? The thousands are here in the audience listening to me for last 7 days. I was expecting that you would
bring all of them back home. Instead, you are taking only one person. What's the matter? Or what is the difference? Everyone was there. How come one person you're picking up? Then those Haridasas, the air host was a Haridas. Servant, the Vishnu Dutas. They said, there's one difference. Everyone did the hearing, but only one person did. Everyone did Shravanam, but only one person did Mananam. Shravanam, Mananam. Manan is the contemplation. After hearing, more thinking, more bringing it to the mind, relishing from different angles, take a look at it, whether it's still there or... So this person, Dhundakari, he was also doing manan. From the time your katha ended and then started again tomorrow, he would think and contemplate. This is a difference, he said. The Dhundakari was also listening desperately. There was a need. Others were doing a casual ritual kind of thing. And they explain different things. Amongst them is this manan part, contemplation. As I said, the faith in the speaker, different things mentioned. But this manan, thinking, always thinking, never forgetting part. You know, the gopis always remember, never forget. So, remember what you have heard, keep remembering, keep reminding yourself, think about it, contemplate, reflect. In a big hurry, a speaker speaks on, you have to go on gobbling, gobble up big chunks of material. But then it has to be processed and properly filed so that you could retrieve whenever you need to. Again, look at it, bring it back on the screen. But it's this big, big mess. You go to some office and it's a big mess. And whenever some document is to be found, it takes hours. Sometimes you never find it. And you give up. It's supposed to be there, but it's not organized. So our brain has two parts. One part is storage facility. Long-term things are dealt with by this side. This is from day-to-day matters. Something long-term, thinking, vision, planning, storage, this side. So it comes this side first, then it has to go the other side. Anyway, this is another subject. But as we are dealing with this pastime, I thought, it's a food for thought, or something to think, how to retain these pastimes so that it becomes our property. Otherwise you're putting things in the pocket, but if there's a hole like I have my servant did not look at the hole, yes. So then you lose. You put things, but then they... bearer. Yeah, so they are amongst those unlimited pastimes. There are your Lord was getting ladies to chant. That is a very famous thing. Because his advent was, he was just a little baby, but he's a founding father of a Sankirtan movement. So he didn't want to wait till he's grown up and then he goes out every town, every village with devotees, Khol Kartal. As we were singing this morning, Udilo Aruna, and then Bhakata Samuha Laiya Sathe Gelo Nagara Praje. Lord would take hundreds and thousands of his devotees with him. So that would happen later on, but as a baby, what could he do? He wanted to do the inauguration, which of course he had done it even before his appearance, or on his appearance day, thousands, millions, Bhagavatam says, Chaitanya Bhagavatam, millions, this whole place was full. All ghats were packed. They're all chanting and participating in the festival. They were here in the dham. So, but then as he appeared, then he's not waiting to grow up and then start his Sankirtan movement. As a baby, he wants to get things started, warm up. So, as a baby, his weapon, baby's weapon is crying. When baby wants to get something done or wants to get something, what does baby do? Cry. Ultimate weapon. If nothing else works, just cry. We all have done that. I did that. Also. Then parents have no choice. So Mahaprabhu, Nimai, he would get the ladies. Early morning is a good time for chanting, right? So he would get up and begin crying. And they found out, you know, how to stop his crying. So the Lord, of course, they don't realize how Lord is working. But one day he's crying, and they are trying different things. And then there was idea. Hey, let's chant. Let's sing. They started singing. And as they started singing, he stopped crying. And they realized that there's a connection. Connection between his crying and singing. So they now knew how to deal with this crying part. So whenever he was crying, they would come and sing. And he would keep crying till more ladies come. Let more ladies come, he would keep crying. Hey, that lady hasn't come. What about her? She's not here. I'll cry. She's crying and crying till more ladies, all the ladies, they drop all their business, whatever household duties. Forget it. That's not important. Come here. So, and then when everyone is here, they are singing. And then what does Lord do? He stops crying. So this became a kind of a very frequent scene, affair at Sashimata's residence. He would cry, then ladies would come, sing, also clap. So that is here. Jai Sachinandan. So that's the easy drama, right? That's not very difficult to do. So could our Mataji's get into the mood? We just need one Nimai, cry baby. You are too old to be a baby. Came out good. Nimai was the best actor. Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna. Then turns into Hare Krishna. So now as we have seen the drama, which is like a demonstration, the Leela in action. So seeing is believing. We personally saw this. So it is more difficult now to forget this Leela. Sure, you will remember this all life long, you will remember. You will remember. Nimai, you will remember. Remember. Each one of us, you all, those who took part, some of us were just having fun. Sitting around, witnessing, watching. So, ena prakarena, somehow, we try to put it deep within our core of our heart. These pastimes, make ours, assimilate them, but we'll never lose them. So, thank you. So, a few things, or maybe one pastime. And then one song coming. Oh, okay. All right. So I'll just wind this up, this morning session, by Vrindavan Das Thakur says how this Brahman Jagannath Mishra and Brahmani, Brahman Brahmani, his wife, Brahman Brahmani, they were an ocean of happiness. Every day, every single day. So much happiness. Day and night. Sachi Mata would put Nimai to bed. And then she would go to bed. Then she would get up thinking of who? As soon as she gets up, she's thinking of? She gets ready, she goes to wake him up and feeding him the breast milk. She is Yashoda from Vrindavan. This Yogapit, this Mayapur, is not different from Gokul. Chankaji, that's not different from Mathura. Chankaji is Kamsa from Mathura. So that this is a Gokul, and Nanda Suta Hoila Jai. Sachisuta Hoila Sai. One who was a son of Nanda Maharaj, he becomes son of Sachi Mata. So Nanda Yashoda appear as Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata. So fortunate souls, they are souls. Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata, they are not Vishnu Tattva. You know the difference. Jiva Tattva, Vishnu Tattva, Shakti Tattva. They are living entities. Their relationship with the Lord is that of Vatsalya Bhav, Vatsalya Ras. Vatsa. Vatsa means calf. So little baby Nima is like a calf. And who is a cow? Sachi Mata is a cow. Like that. So fortunate, this couple, Brahman, Brahmini. And they're witnessing the pastimes of Nimai day and night. There's a description how Sachi Mata, she gave birth, and then ladies stay a long time indoor in maternity home, so for a month or so, depending on your Brahmin's family, then you stay, mother stays indoor for so many days if you are from other castes, other Varnas, so many days like that. So then there's a Surya Darshan. For the first time, the mother exposed to the sun and sees sun. We also remember, know from our family, how the ladies giving birth to the child, they would stay indoor and not coming out. And when we would see them, their bodily complexion would be different, becoming a little whitish, pale, fair color, because they were not exposed to the sun. So Sachi Mata spent some time, and then she comes out of home, and then she goes straight to Ganga. She is worshipping Ganga. There's also mention of her worshipping a Devi goddess called Shashti. And she is worshipped. Then she benedicts. Shasti also means 60. So Shasti Devi is worshipped. She is pleased. Then the offspring or child of that mother who worships this Devi, he or she lives long, more than 60 years. 60. Shasti means 60. So that Devi we worship, then the boon is, yes, 60 years, long life. Sachi Mata is only thinking how my son could live a long, long life. And then she's returning. There's also mention of how Vishwarup also takes Nimai in the lap, his own lap. Vishwarup takes Nimai in the lap and he's sitting there. Nimai is also, Vishwarup is also a little boy, maybe 1 year older. So he's taking Nimai in his lap and he's enjoying. He does so because that is his relationship. Vishwarup is also Balaram. Balaram appeared in two forms. One is Nityanand, another one is Vishwarup. Vishwarup is Balaram, Anantashesh. He holds the planets and he's also serving the Lord. That is his position. Again, Seva Vigraha. So he's supporting. So he's holding Nimai in the lap, means he's playing that role. He's the same. That snake that had come is the same person. So Vishwarup is holding, means Anandashesh or Balaram is holding Nimai. Then Nimai, he wanders throughout the streets of Mayapur, and he's so charming, enchanting, darling, that it's captivating to look at him. So as he walking around, and someone is carrying some sweets or fruits, or because they're so much in love with this little Nimai, they would just give him whatever he wanted. He would just look at banana. Okay, he take this. He's looking at different things, and those persons think, oh, he likes our banana, he likes this sweet, likes sandesh, he likes this. So they are just handing him things. They can't say no, can't disappoint this. He's so beautiful and so captivating, melts their heart, and so they're ready to do anything, everything. What do you want? Whatever you want, take. So then it's described that he would bring lots of fruits and sweets. He would bring them home. And then after his crying session, as ladies come and they do their kirtan, just before ladies are leaving, he would give those fruits to them. I take this fruit, I take this sweets. He had just gone around, collected. And after the kirtan, he's distributing, thanking them, distributing those sweets, those bananas, those. So, like ordinary kind of things, but at the same time, very extraordinary. Because Lord is doing these things. And then, so one day he was wandering on the streets. And that day was specially well decorated. He has so many ornaments on him. He had earrings, so many different necklaces and ankle bells, and you are just dazzling, shining with golden and diamond and silver, all sorts of ornaments. And then two thieves who were looking for some opportunity for stealing something somewhere, they saw this child. And that's it. He was by himself, no mother, no father, and he's all loaded with gold and loaded with silver. So they had an idea. They just thought of just taking child away and then hidingly take all the ornaments off and then send him away. That was... So they got his attention, maybe said some sweet, hey boy, come. You like Sandesh? Of course. So they picked him up and they're feeding him, doing some sweet talk. And they started walking away. And walking. Telling some stories so that he stays in good mood, doesn't cry. If he would cry, then so many people, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Bhagavatam describes, so many people were there all around, but these thieves were acting as if it was their child, or, you know, everything is normal, there's nothing wrong in it. So no one paid attention, and they were taking him away to their home, thieves' home. And they say, we will be home soon, boy. Don't worry, soon we'll be there. So they're walking long distance, they're traveling. And so these thieves were thinking that, and they were thinking that, soon we'll be home. So what happened instead was, they even entered home thinking, they have come back home, their home. And in meantime, of course, you know, the Nimai and the Sachimata, Jagannath Mishra, they were in total anxiety. Child had gone for a long time. He was expected, you know, by 12 o'clock, but it's 1:15 already. And he is not back. So they were in anxiety. They are making calls, informing police, this, that. And then these fellows walk right into the home of Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra. And put him down. By the time they are putting him down, they're still thinking they have entered their own home, the thief's home. And then Sachimata saying, hey, Nimai, you've gone for such a long time, where were you? When thieves heard that, they realized this is not our home. This is not my wife talking like this. This is what's going on here. So they drop the child like a hot potato and ran. So the Chaitanya Bhagavad describes that. They asked Nimai, what happened? Where were you? He said, I went to Ganga and then I was returning, but then I lost my way. He was giving some explanation like that. So due to the yoga maya potency, neither those thieves realized what went wrong. Instead of entering their own home, they entered the boy's home after walking long, long time. And although Nimai tried to explain something, what happened, he couldn't satisfy them, or he was not able to communicate with them. Anyway, the matter ended because the child was found, he was safe, hale and hearty, and the parents were just happy to have Nimai, and that was it. Haribo. So we'll end there. And tomorrow is a normal day. Rath Yatra is the day after, right? Rath Yatra is the day after tomorrow, so tomorrow should be a normal day. So those blessed souls should be joining us, those who went to Shantipur today. And so we'll continue like this. I mean, today I did not read Bengali. I read at home for myself. And I'm speaking in your language. I was doing double role yesterday. Yeah, before you leave, I think the Mataji's have some prasad, little bit in the hand. You take prasad outside the door. Someone is waiting for a little prasad for you. Haribol.